Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again with you on this Monday edition. We're 10 days away. 10 days away from the first round of the NFL draft, Thursday night, April 23rd. It is a mock draft Monday. I'm not even going to dip into really a mock draft as it concerns the 49ers because I have a special treat for you guys on today's podcast. And I've teased it all week long last week and even before that. Leading up to this week, the Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special is on. It is live, and Monday's episode covers up to pick 13, which of course is the 49ers' first pick in the first round. I am acting as both co-host and GM of the 49ers on that show. And on today's podcast, we're going to play the first portion of that 2020 Locked On NFL Mock Draft. This project is the culmination of every host on the Locked On Podcast Network's NFL channel and many of the hosts on the college channel. It includes insights from the Draft Network, hosts of Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes. And this isn't just your normal predictive draft. This is the host selecting what they think would be the best for their teams that they cover. So there will be trades. There already have been trades. There will be more. Teams have come to me in this mock draft about trading 13 and 31. I had talked a little bit about moving around with some other teams as well. So you never know exactly where all the teams are going to be selecting in this draft. There will be surprises for sure. Our college host providing player profiles of all the players selected in this mock draft and all 32 NFL teams are featured, and even the teams without first round selections, and some of those teams moved back into the first round, but they'll have their first pick, whether it's the second round or third round or the fifth round, whatever, they'll be able to sort of project what their team's pick would be with their first selection, whenever that is. The Mock Draft Special started Friday, April 10th, through this week until April 17th, so be sure to subscribe to Locked On NFL, all of your favorite podcast apps, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, so you don't miss a show, and if you do, just go back into the archive. We'll play an excerpt of that first episode at the end of today's show. Then you can go back and listen to the whole thing of the first 2 days so far of the Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special. I also today want to talk about some players the 49ers have met with, and the list is growing. Matt Barrow's doing a great job reporting on some of these things, and shout out to the guys at 49ers Web Zone who are keeping a visits tracker, so I don't have to. So we'll go through that and sort of group some of these prospects. A lot of them I've talked about already. There's a lot of new names now on the list. Group them into, you know, are they pick 13 prospects? Are they pick 31 prospects? Are they later in the draft? There's a ton that are going to be in that day 3, 5, 6, 7 round range for the 49ers. Let's start with some of the most exciting names that have been added to the list, and there are some good ones. One of my favorite defensive prospects in this draft that is being criminally underrated, I think, by most of draft media. I have a feeling he might go higher than a lot of people expect. I think the 49ers are visiting with him potentially for that number 31 pick at the end of round one. I'm not so sure he's going to get there. That is defensive end Yetur Gross-Matos out of Penn State, and he is actually, you know what? Let's hold on Yetur Gross-Matos and some other players at 31. Let's talk about the prospects, and there's not that many that the 49ers have interviewed so far officially. They've interviewed people I'm sure that we will never find out about or will find out after the draft, but this is, you know, the list we know of so far of names that have been reported, some of these by the agents, some of these by the players themselves. One of those is wide receiver CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma, who's definitely a candidate to be selected at pick 13. He said on his own Instagram that he had a private visit with the 49ers. So that's two wide receivers, potentially, of the three that could be selected, I think, by the 49ers at pick 13. They met with Henry Ruggs at the Combine, and now they've met with CeeDee Lamb via virtual meeting. There aren't really any other names that are in that top 15 conversation, I think. So right now we have Ruggs, we have CeeDee Lamb. Those are the only two players I could see the 49ers selecting if they stay put at 13 that we have reports on the 49ers meeting with so far. And I'm not really looking so much at the ones from, a lot of people report that a scout talked to a player or something at the Senior Bowl or the Shrine Game. Those are a little bit more wishy-washy. I want to focus on the guys that the 49ers brought in where they met with the coach, they met with the general manager, right? They had a meeting at the Combine, an official visit, virtually now, used to be the 30 visits, but now a virtual visit. I think those are more important and we can take a little bit more from those. So sticking with wide receivers, a couple of players that could be selected if the Niners don't go wide receiver at 13 at pick 31 toward the end of the first round, or even potentially if they move down a little bit, not too far into round two. Wide receiver Denzel Mims out of Baylor. He of the 6'3", 208-pound frame who ran a 4.38 at the combine, ran a great three-cone time, and just really killed it at the combine. He's a player that I like a lot. I liked him better when I thought the 49ers could get him in the second round. They're going to have to take him in the first round most likely, and he might be gone, sort of like I talked about with Yetur or Gross Matos, might be gone before the 49ers are on the clock at 31 anyway. And he's a boom or bust type of prospect. I talked with someone on Twitter about him today, and a lot of people are really sold because they see a guy 6'3 who runs 4.38, and they're like, yes, give me that player. But there's still some work to do for Denzel Mims as a prospect, which is why I'm not trying to trade up from 31 to get him. If he falls, he's a player I'd be fine with at 31. Even if you trade back maybe and you get a good offer, I wouldn't not trade back because Denzel Mims is on the board, even though I do like Mims. And I think he'll probably somewhere around the fifth or so wide receiver selected in this draft, if I had to guess. Some teams probably like him a lot. Some teams maybe not quite as much. I'm not sure based on the tape that he's exactly Kyle Shanahan's type of guy, even though I think the 49ers could really use that linear speed, deep, down the field, outside type of wide receiver. Everybody in Shanahan's offense needs to be able to move around and play a lot in the slot, and that's not really what his game is. He's not a jitterbug, lose a defender in the first few steps of a route, sort of a route runner. So that's one of the things he needs to work on, is route running. He's maybe a little bit stiff. He's a long strider, and that's why he can run so fast. If you watch his 40 at the combine, watch his strides, it's like, wow, he is tearing up ground with each step. But that's also why it hinders him a little bit from being short area quickness and running some routes. So he's got some work to do. It helps that he played really well at the Senior Bowl, and it helps that he's physical and he's got a work ethic and he will block people, and those are all very good signs for a wide receiver. And he's acrobatic on the sideline. He can get deep with his speed. He goes up and makes some amazing sideline catches. He didn't have the greatest quarterback at Baylor, but he also doesn't have the purest of hands. He will double catch the ball a lot. He had a lot of drops, a pretty high drop percentage, around 10%, I think, which is not great. So that worries me a little bit. And there's definitely some boom or bust when it comes to Denzel Mims. A more safe wide receiver, I think, is one that they met with at the combine. And there's a couple actually from the combine aside from Henry Ruggs. One is Justin Jefferson out of LSU. He really seems like someone who would be a Shanahan type. Played mostly out of the slot last year at LSU. I think he's going to be gone before the 49ers at pick at 31, but I would not select him as high as 13. So he's probably in that range between 13 and 31 to me. But a nice prospect and a pretty safe prospect. Ran a really nice 4.43 40 time at around 6'1", 200 pounds. So, solid height, weight, speed. Doesn't necessarily play to that deep speed, but he can get open underneath, and someone I'm sure Shanahan likes quite a bit, which is probably why they visited with him at the combine. And then Jalen Reagor, who's a little bit more like Henry Ruggs, who's more compact, 5'11". He came in a little heavy, 206 pounds, which I was surprised about, and apparently at his pro day. This is tough, too. We're seeing a lot of leaks from agents and people working these guys out at pro days, and they'll show you their stopwatch. And it's like, dude, come on. That's a ridiculous time. It's just really hard to verify these times that we're seeing with some of these weird satellite pro days where prospects are trying to get some better times out there. He ran 4.47 at the combine. He dropped a few pounds, and so I'm sure he did run faster at his pro day. But he's got speed, and you can see that on tape, so it doesn't really matter what his 40 time is. If you miss out on Ruggs and that's the type of player you want, maybe you go Jalen Reagor out of TCU at 31. So those are the wide receivers, the first round types that the 49ers have met with that we know about. And I would have been surprised if the 49ers didn't meet with CeeDee Lamb and didn't meet with Ruggs and didn't meet with Jerry Jeudy, although we still don't have an official report about the 49ers meeting with Jerry Jeudy. So we may get that, we may not. I'm sure they have met with him. And it's almost to the point where if they don't meet with him, maybe that says more because they already know they like him and they don't want to put that out there and have other teams learn about their meeting with him. Who knows? They have met with a few more first round types that we'll get into in a minute, and a ton of later round types. Yetur Gross-Matos, defensive end from Penn State, 6'5", 265 pounds. The 49ers have had a meeting with him. I think he'd be a fantastic value at 31 for the 49ers. And defensive end, I think, is a sneaky need that not a lot of people are talking about, because I really believe that with Dee Ford's chronic knee issues and the tendonitis and how few snaps he played last year, they're impact snaps. And if he's only a third down guy this year, that's fine. But I think long term, with what he's being paid, it's hard to envision him being around for a long time. And if he is gone, defensive end becomes a massive need, I think, for the 49ers on passing downs when Eric Armstead is rushing from the inside. So Yetur Gross-Matos, he's built exactly like you want an NFL pass rusher and defensive end to look like. He's got, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul, Chandler Jones type of body, 35-inch arms, long arms, longer arms than Eric Armstead, just trees for arms, and he's a great athlete. He was productive, but still raw to where he's the sky's the limit as far as what he could become. I think he's going to be gone. To me, he's the second best defensive end in this class. A nice gap after Chase Young, but there's a few pass rushers that could go late in round one. I think he's number two on my list after Chase Young. Could surprise people actually how high he goes because of that projectable athletic profile that he has, but I like that the 49ers have met with him. Someone I'd be interested in for sure at pick 31. And another guy I like at 31, again, if he gets there and the 49ers don't go offensive tackle at 13, is Houston's Josh Jones. He really dominated at the Senior Bowl. He played a lot of football at left tackle for Houston. I think he's athletic. He's got all the physical profile you're looking for. Perfect scheme fit for the 49ers offense. Someone who could play guard early, jump out, play left tackle, right tackle, whatever. Really nice fit. Again, don't think he makes it to 31, but the 49ers are meeting with some of these players, I think, just in case they're on the clock and they have an opportunity to draft Gross-Matos or Josh Jones. And again, there's going to be players that they meet with that we don't really hear about, but just of the ones that have been reported, there's not many other first-round type players they've been looking at. I think defensive tackle Ross Blacklock out of TCU is one that we've talked about here previously on the show. Ezra Cleveland, tackle from Boise State, I would like him much better in the second round, maybe even the third after a trade down. I think pick 31, little bit rich for Ezra Cleveland, but I have seen his name in some mock drafts in the first round recently after the combine, because he did really have a good combine workout. And let's see, Jalen Elliott and Jordan Elliott mixed up. Jordan Elliott is the defensive lineman, a defensive tackle out of Missouri, who could potentially go, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, something like that. And the safety from Notre Dame, Jalen Elliott, is a player that they've met with. It's more of a day three guy. But that's it for first rounders. If I had to rank them, it'd go CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs. Those guys are back-to-back for me, both top 10 players in this draft. Justin Jefferson would be right there, probably right slightly behind, actually, Yetur Gross-Matos and Josh Jones in the next tier of prospects after my top 16 or so. Would be happy with those guys in the 20s or 31. Who else was on that list there? Yeah, Denzel Mims, then Ross Blacklock, I think, and then maybe Ezra Cleveland after that, then Jordan Elliott. I think those are the only ones you could even consider being first-round talents of the players that have been reported that the 49ers have met with. And then a ton of guys that could go later and a lot later. Some of these names we've talked about before, but I just want to list some off. Center Lloyd Cushenberry from LSU, second, third round type. I don't think he's actually that great of a fit for the 49ers offense, but they've at least looked at him or met with him at the scouting combine. Dalton Keene, tight end from Virginia Tech, is one I've talked about on the show that I like a lot for the 49ers on day three. They've met with Notre Dame defensive end Khalid Kareem. They met with running back Darrington Evans out of Appalachian State, who I would love for the 49ers as a fit in that fifth round area. If he's still on the board, ran a 4.41 at the combine and could really be that guy who replaces Matt Breida if the 49ers trade Matt Breida, as has been the rumor recently. Defensive tackle Justin Matabuki out of Texas A&M. Kyle Hinton, a guard from Washburn. They visited with Kenny Willekes, defensive end from Michigan State. Quez Watkins, a speedy wide receiver, ran 4.35 at the combine out of Southern Miss. Definitely a day three type. a very slim, very fast player. And so if you're keeping track, they've met with the three fastest wide receivers 40 time wise from the combine so far. So I think it's pretty clear that speed at wide receiver is something the 49ers are looking hard at in this NFL draft. Lynn Bowden, another wide receiver who's more of a cross between Deebo Samuel and Richie James. Kick returner, he was a Wildcat quarterback. He was their leading rusher and receiver at Kentucky this year. Built a little bit more like a running back, definitely a slot type of wide receiver, someone that could be used in a lot of different ways in the 49ers offense and in return kicks. If he gets to the fifth round range, that would make some sense. I don't know if I like him any earlier than that, and the 49ers don't have many picks earlier than that. Definitely not a first round type. Salvon Ahmed, running back from Washington. Tight end Devin Asiasi from UCLA. Tight end Hunter Bryant from Washington. Running back Reggie Corman from Southern Florida. Safety Cameron Curl from Arkansas. Cornerback Cameron Dantzler from Mississippi State, who ran a 4.64 at the combine and was apparently timed 4.38 at his pro day recently. So speaking of those 40 times that are hard to believe from pro days, I mean, come on, you went from a 4.64 to a 4.38. That one's hard to believe. And I think he's probably faster than 4.64, but 4.38, I don't know. And he's tall, 6'1", but very slim, only 180 pounds, and kind of has short arms. So seems tall, but not as long as maybe the 49ers would like. Weird prospect, don't know where he's going to go. Maybe round three area if the 49ers were able to add some picks. Safety Ashton Davis out of Cal, who can fly but did not run at the combine. I believe he was hurt, and obviously his pro day was canceled. I don't know how many 40 times the 49ers have gotten from some of those pro days that have gone on in social distancing. it's just tough, I think, for teams. They just have to go on tape, which might turn out to be a good thing, because you know who's fast? Ashton Davis, he's fast. Henry Ruggs, fast. It's simple sometimes. Linebacker Akeem Davis-Gaither out of Appalachian State. I mentioned Jalen Elliott from Notre Dame. The safety, Cordell Iwuagwu, guard from TCU. Day three guy, Mike Onwenu from Michigan. Another day three guy, as is safety Daniel Thomas from Auburn. I think I've named everybody so far that the 49ers have met with. So those are the reported visits. There is going to be a ton more, but that's what the 49ers are looking at. I don't know. Is there a theme, something to take away? To me, it's like, okay, wide receivers with speed and multiple first-round wide receiver types. So I think after pick 31 is done, if the 49ers don't trade out, they will have selected a wide receiver in this NFL draft and probably somebody pretty fast. And now a little teaser. An excerpt from the Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special. If you've already started it, you don't need to go any further on this podcast and listen to the beginning of that mock. You can just jump right into the Locked On NFL channel and day two of this mock draft, which is live today. If you have not yet heard it, it's awesome. It's an amazing production that the whole network has come together. I produced it along with Jay Soderbergh, a.k.a. Pod Vader, co-host it with Matt Williamson, former NFL scout. It's a ton of fun. So here is an excerpt from that mock draft. Go subscribe to Locked On NFL and listen to the whole thing. And I hope you like the picks I make for the 49ers. They've been playing the game their entire life. From the playground,
I promise to exercise and eat right.
Don't forget 60 minutes of play a day, right?
I'm playing the NFL.
Yes, sir.
I'm drafted number one.
Maybe.
To their high school.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose. Let's go play some football. Let's go.
To the university.
We have 95 players here, so accomplished as athletes in high school. We gave them full scholarships to the best football program in the country.
Now, their lives are about to change forever.
Become your mom's favorite player?
Whoa.
This is Locked On NFL, and this is the Locked On Podcast Network Mock Draft. Welcome to the 2020 Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special. Brian Peacock here alongside former NFL scout Matt Williamson. We will take you through the first round plus in a network-wide mock draft, all 32 teams represented, even those without first-round picks. Hosts making picks for the teams they cover, our friends from the college side of the network with profiles on each one of these prospects that get selected in the Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special, why they are considered worthy of first-round selections, and analysis from my co-host, Matt Williamson, as well as draft dudes Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino, and the Locked On NFL Draft crew, Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak. If you're listening to this kickoff episode on a team-specific podcast, you can follow along all week, every pick throughout round one on the Locked On NFL channel. Teams are talking trades, so you may not know exactly where your team ends up selecting. We'll conclude this draft next Friday, checking in with those teams in round two who didn't select in the opening stanza, some of which might jump into round one before it's all finished, and recapping everything that went down all week long. Matt, I'm pumped. Are you ready to do this thing?
I'm very ready to do this thing. This is a very cool event. I think people will enjoy it. We've had so many new subscribers since last year that didn't get to enjoy it. So you're in for a treat. You're in for a wild ride and a really well put together whole situation here starting right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was one of the most popular. It was the most popular show on the NFL side of the network last year. And I expect it to be even bigger and better. And the way things are right now in the world and wherever you are listening to this podcast, I hope you are well. And I hope this is something fun for you to listen to all week long. Matt, as the Cincinnati Bengals go on the clock with the opening selection in the Locked On NFL Mock Draft, you've been through this. What are teams doing in preparation the final days and minutes leading up to the first pick for those specific teams?
Well, this year, who the heck knows? I mean, I'm sure that there's things like, you know, the electronics or the IT people are coming to everyone's homes to make sure everything works, checking, double checking, doing all that kind of stuff. We mentioned before, you know, maybe you can run mock drafts in terms of let's try to just do a whole walkthrough basically of how this thing's going to work. If we're going to make a trade, who's in charge of calling this team, et cetera, et cetera. But honestly, in the olden days and the not 2020 draft, most of the hay is in the barn really a day or two before the draft. I mean, you might be calling agents of your favorite people to make sure that prospects didn't fall down the stairs or that knee that you're worried about isn't flaring up. But for the most part, things should be done a couple days before the draft.
Let's check in with some of our analysts here on the network. We have a pair of NFL draft shows, draft dudes, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs of the Draft Dudes podcast, and let me just tell you, as a couple of draft dudes, we are really excited for this Locked On Podcast Network draft simulation where each host is going to make the picks for their team, and I know it's not the real thing, but it's pretty damn close, and this draft promises to be very exciting with all the dynamics between the teams with multiple first-round picks and all the quarterbacks. So, Kyle, I'm sure you're just as excited as I am.
Yeah, the big mystery here is, from the quarterback perspective, how many can we get to go early? And then the other fascinating subplot is, when does the offensive tackle run start, and how fast does it go? Because there's generally considered to be four top offensive tackles. There's generally considered to be three top quarterbacks. Maybe a fourth with Jordan Love if he sneaks in there, remains to be seen. And the order of all seven of those players who are feasibly top 12 talents coming off the board is going to be a really interesting scenario to see how it actually plays out here.
I think just as interesting as the offensive tackle discussion is the wide receiver. Everybody knows this is a really deep and talented crop of receivers, but there's really exciting guys at the top of the board. You know, could we see six, seven, eight guys go off the board in the first round? When does that run start? And who are those late first round guys that teams that, you know, like the Packers or like the Saints and Eagles and Vikings, who do they get if they are a left kind of picking the later half of those top tier prospects? So offensive tackles, quarterbacks, wide receivers, the NFL is a passing league. And you can tell that this this draft is going to really help these offenses be more dynamic.
Yeah, it's a deep class, and we're going to have a lot of opportunities to see players that in a typical class are probably off the board by 20. They might be lingering here in the late first round, early second round. So lots to look forward to, lots to get into. Looking forward to see how these teams start their drafts.
Hey, everybody, Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak from the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast here with you. Excited to go on this journey of the Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special. Ben, this is going to be a lot of fun. There's so many things that could happen in this mock draft. What are you looking forward to most?
Yeah, it's always nice when you're able to get 32 guys, each of whom knows their team as well as the host on the Locked On Podcast Network do, and they can control for their pick. And then you have the freedom for things like trade negotiations as the pick comes off the board. You have the ability for surprises as each individual analyst focuses on their guys. I think number one, it's not going to be a typical mock. It's not going to be like what we see.
No, definitely.
When only one person controls all 32 teams, there's going to be a lot more aggressive moves. So I expect to see big trade-ups. I expect to see surprising picks. Yep. And that's the reality with these. When you're controlling just that one team, you go and get your guy. That's what we see in the league. I guess that's what we'll be seeing in this mock as well.
I'm really interested to see how the offensive tackles go here in the first round, because it's just the possibilities are endless. We saw that in our guest mock draft series that we're doing on our podcast. But, I mean, what other positions are big ones? Quarterback, wide receiver, probably, right?
Well, I think that when you're making these sorts of picks and it's catered to your audience for your podcast, you're tempted sometimes to go for those sexier positions. And the sexy position in this draft is undoubtedly wide receiver. So to me, I'm really interested to see, we know the big three will come off the board and Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and Henry Ruggs. Who's wide receiver 4, who's wide receiver 5, and just how many can we fit in this first round?
Ooh, it's going to be a lot of fun. Ben and I are going to be back with you recapping a lot of these picks throughout the mock draft. I'm very excited, so let's get it started.
Okay, Matt, we're here. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. Is there any doubt what the Bengals should do here? They earned the right through their poor play in the 2019 season to be drafting number one overall on everybody's list. It seems to be the same name, the same prospect that should go first overall. If their phone is ringing, should they even be answering it, or do they know who the pick will be with the first overall selection in this draft?
I mean, you answer it, and if someone offers you a Godfather-like offer, you consider it, and you still might not even say yes. I mean, I think Burrow is the super prospect. He would go first in almost every draft, you know, 9 out of 10 years. That's a gift, and the Bengals need it. He's an Ohio guy. They need to sell tickets. They need to sell jerseys. The offense that he falls into isn't in that bad a shape as first overall selections go. So I think it's kind of too good to be true.
All right. With that, this draft is underway. Let's go to the hosts of Locked On Bengals and get the pick for Cincinnati, Joe Goodberry and Jake Lisco.
With the first overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals easily and without second thought select Joe Burrow. In fact, Joe, we received no calls in the war room for the number one pick. I guess everyone just knows not to ask.
And I don't think we would have considered any offers anyway. So we make this pick. This pick has really been made since maybe late December, when the Bengals lost to the Miami Dolphins in week 16 of the regular season and clinched their first overall pick. Joe Burrow went on a tear in the playoffs after that, and the Bengals will finally get a franchise quarterback. First time they've drafted number one since 2003, when they drafted Carson Palmer out of USC. They're in that position again. The roster has been turned over on the defensive side through free agency, and I think they're looking at this squarely of saying, our Super Bowl window opens again if we draft Joe Burrow number one in 2020.
That's right. The Bengals don't just spend money to spend money. This is a strategic injection of funds into the defense to make themselves competitive while they have Joe Burrow on his rookie deal for 5 years. He's, of course, expected to come in and be a day one starter in Cincinnati. Andy Dalton is still on the roster, but will not be on the roster by the time training camp comes around. He might not even be on the roster by the time the draft is finished. We are looking openly to trade Andy Dalton for whatever assets we can recover. And if that doesn't work out, he'll be cut before Joe Burrow shows up for rookie camp or for the first offseason activity that we're allowed to hold with these rookies this summer. Joe, how much better does Joe Burrow make this team?
Well, the quarterback is the most important position, and I think we're looking at a guy coming off a historic college football season that many have said is the best passing performance throughout a whole season in the history of college football. What does he do better than Andy Dalton? Andy Dalton has been the Mendoza line for starting quarterbacks in the league for a long time, and I feel like all of the skills you look for typically when you look at college quarterbacks. Usually they are the big guys with the strong arms going near the top. And you say, can they function in the pocket? Do they have accuracy? How's their IQ? How's their processing? How do they do off script? All the questions you normally go into tape asking with Joe Burrow, those are all the answers you have with him based on tape and based on what he showed this past year. All of those things are not in question. He has them in spades. It's the arm strength, right? That's the only area you really question. And I would say it's very similar to Andy Dalton. So it should be an upgrade in almost every area of quarterbacking other than that. And that's okay, because when you look at the best quarterbacks in the league over the last 20, 25 years, whether it's Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, they all had those other features in their game without having a cannon for an arm.
Simply put, Joe Burrow is the most influential recruit in LSU football history. In leading the Tigers to the 2019 National Championship, Burrow was fantastic, shattering school records and setting national marks that may not be touched. 5,671 yards and 60 touchdown passes for Burrow while completing 76% of his passes. His arm strength won't wow you, but Joe Burrow makes up for it everywhere else. His decision-making is elite, just 6 interceptions on the 2019 season. He's the son of a coach and a film room junkie. There's a story about LSU beating Alabama, getting back to from Tuscaloosa to Baton Rouge, and when Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator, got to LSU football ops that night to go get the cut-ups of the film, Burrow had already beaten him there. Burrow has very underrated athleticism. Not only was he a high school quarterback, he was also a high school basketball player, and his ability to move the chains with his feet is something that many have overlooked throughout this process. Burrow is a fierce competitor whose teammates love him, who rises in the biggest moments. Should Joe Burrow stay healthy, he will have a long, prosperous NFL career as a franchise quarterback. This is Matt Moscona of Locked On LSU, your source for LSU and SEC content every day.
All right, Matt, there's the pick. Joe Burrow goes number one overall to the Cincinnati Bengals, and there's a lot to like about Joe Burrow. I think maybe if you're nitpicking, you can find some knocks here and there about arm strength, which in some cases is completely overrated. And I like what was said by many smart NFL people in the past, that the quarterback position isn't so much played with your arm once you get to the NFL level. It's played from the neck up. And I think that's where Joe Burrow really shines.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is a good athlete. He has a remarkable head and poise and confidence for the game, processing, accuracy. He does not have a power arm, and that worries me a little bit considering the area of the country he's going to when it's sleeting and windy and, you know, in the NFC North and late in the year. We'll see how he deals with that, but that by no means would slow me down from making such a pick. He's a tremendous prospect.
More Locked On NFL Draft special coming up. The Washington Redskins are now on the clock with the second selection. Hope you enjoyed that little teaser there here on Locked On 49ers. Be sure to check out Locked On NFL all week long. Episode 1 featured picks 1 through 6. Episode 2, which is live today, features picks 7 through 13. It's running all the way through Friday. On tomorrow's show, we'll be talking wide receivers here on Locked On 49ers. It's part 2 of my conversation with Eric Crocker. We did corners last week. We've got wide receivers coming up tomorrow. We've got to really dissect those top 3 receivers. How does Crocker feel about those guys? Is there any separation between Judy, Lamb, and Ruggs at the top? Hope you enjoyed today's show. Go listen to Locked On NFL now. Talk to you tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.